The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
You're listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. Hey, Frank. Hey. Give me a box of pants.
The Frank is on.
You're kidding. The donut lady has other stuff, too. The donut lady has napkins.
I'm scared as hell.
And now, on with the show.
Now?
From...
Song was written by Fred Ebb and John Cantor.
Shut up! I'm talking now, Frank. Let's sing this together, you and me.
Non-custom. And stolen.
He's dead too. Move on.
Start spreading the news.
This is dedicated to my hometown.
I am leaving today.
But not quick enough.
I want to be a part.
Oh, okay, I can make sure I just...
New York.
Oh, he's going to improvise.
He is. He's Vagabond.
Vagabond Lou.
They are longing to stray.
You got a live version here, and he's got this thing in his voice.
Right.
Yeah.
The very heart of it.
I go like,
New York. I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps. And find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. My little town blue.
Come on, everybody, you know the words.
They are melting away.
Melting away.
I'm gonna make a brand new start of it in old New York.
And
if I can.
Make it there, I'll make it anywhere.
It's up to you. New York.
I come back.
I teach the history of science, so Copernicus, Galileo, Darwin, they've all been on the list of banned books.
I just find it amazing that any book could be banned based on one person's subjective opinion.
The Wizard of Oz.
Brave New World.
Monster Margarita.
Get Out of Dodge that this is banned, A Wrinkle in Time. I mean, this is one of the great, great classics that I can't wait for my daughter to read.
It's so hard to pick my favorite banned book because I think probably every book that I love was probably banned at one point, you know? So it kind of goes for, you know, everything. One book that comes to mind is Slaughterhouse-Five.
Brideshead Revisited.
Love To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, so I brought The Great Gatsby because it is one of my favorite books. It's also my father's favorite book. But the fact is, if it's good and popular, it's been banned.
People banning books like Captain Underpants, or Goosebumps, or Harry Potter. I mean, give me a break. If you're banning those books, I think you ought to have your head examined.
Huck Finn is my favorite banned book, I guess, because it's one of my favorite American novels, and it's frequently banned. What people find offensive in it is what they think is racism, which, in fact, is one of the greatest anti-racism novels ever written. And one of the frustrations, I think, for for people who oppose censorship, like myself, is that oftentimes what people are getting upset about is precisely what the novel is arguing against.
The dangerous thing about that is you have no way of learning from sort of past mistakes or, you know, stories of history in general.
If we think of a society as a book, every time we ban a text, we're basically tearing a page from the book of our democratic culture.
Sunburnt Sickleman of August Weary. The Bard of Broadcasting is now on the air. Neo postmodernists and everybody else, wake up. It is night. That's right, once again. My name is Frank Atoll, the man whose name is joining the title of the show. Banned books? Banned? Don't read? Burn the books? Hey, you be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. Oh, yes. Come on in. Cthulhu Chronicles, where the rules are forever broken. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello, and in every language you could possibly say what I just said. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, but not good night. Although, yeah, you be good. See you tomorrow. I love you. As Alex the Parrot once said, last said, my name is Frank Atola, man's name adorns the title of the show. Here we are again, YGK plus 13, going into the October. The October, Oct is 8, and yet this isn't the 8th month, it's the 11th. How did they figure that one out? It's the 10th. Oct is 8, and this is the 10th month. I don't know how, I don't see how that worked. I suddenly realized that. All this time, all the schooling, all the books, everything. Speaking of books, who knew about this? It was not publicized well enough, I don't think. But on the 28th of September will be the end of Banned Book Week. Banned Book Week. It's not a week where we ban books. It's a week where we celebrate and herald those books that have been banned. And you're going to be surprised at the things that we were not allowed to read, the things that we weren't going to be able to get our hands on, or no less our eyes upon, the words inside the covers of books. Your freedom of expression is certainly, was always, always in jeopardy. So I thought it would be great to talk. I thought a couple of things, as I usually do, because this has not been planned for months. It's, in fact, as you're going to learn shortly, the things that have been planned here just planned immediately, right in the last couple of hours, just as the wine hit me in right through in the ears. And all sorts of things came to mind, because I am a neo-postmodernist, and I accept those things that immediately draw my attention. So I'm thinking about banned books and talking about banned books, and I realize that that I could talk, as I always can. I know I never think I can't talk about this particular subject, the books that there are five, the list that just came out, five banned books you should read if you never read or what have you. But as an author of books, I thought, well, I could do this because I've read a lot of books and a lot of them were banned. And I remember sneaking into my father's, drawers. Now, wait a second. You know what I mean, don't you? You know, those big places where the, where you keep your clothes and stuff, those kind of drawers, and looking for those, the books that would influence me the rest of my life that at one time could not even be bought. I don't know how he got it. Contraband. There were ways of getting everything in New York anyway. As you know, you've heard the show and you've heard me talk about refrigerators that could not be bought anywhere else or be bought for cheaper. But books, if there was a banned book, everyone wanted it. The great thing about banning a book is that it increases its popularity by about tenfold. So I'm thinking I could do this and talk about this, that, and the other thing. And I said to myself, you know, there's one other person. I thought to myself, if I could get a cohort, a kindred spirit, to be with me on this show, that would be terrific. I could do it alone. Everyone knows that. I don't have any problem with that. But I said, if I could do that, then I will. Someone who has written, someone who is a champion of freedom of expression, and who is a friend of the show and everything that Wake Up It's Night means. And so it worked out, quickly communicated, and so shortly the artist D will be with me to talk throughout the show, and we will partner to talk about all things banned books, and the once again the utter absolute importance freedom of speech. All this stuff came to me, too, while I was hearing about here somewhere in Pennsylvania where the Triple K, I can't say their names. I wonder if anybody says that. You're a member of the Triple K? No, but I don't wonder if anybody says Triple K, or they always go KKK, the KKK, or the Ku Klux Klan of the KKK. Why did you say the Triple K? I don't know why they don't do that. Maybe they do that. I don't know. I don't know these guys, gals, people. But recently, over there in the guy on the Battle of Gettysburg grounds, this recently, I think this happened today, on the grounds, you know, it's a big tourist attraction. People go and watch and look around where all the horses and people were killed. That's right, 3,000 horses were killed. I learned that this week, too. What happened was the KKK, the Triple K, the Ku Klux Klan said, we want to have a meeting. We want to have a meeting. No, not a meeting. A display, I don't know what they call it. What do they call it? What does the Triple K call a meeting like that? I don't know. A march or whatever. And of course, it was the First Amendment that allows them to do it. And everybody in the neighborhood, if there is indeed a neighborhood down there in Gettysburg, is upset. But yet, there they will be, because they were given and granted the permission to stand there and talk about whatever it is they talk about. And you know what? There should be a riot. Let's all go down there. No. Don't say that. I'm not going to say anything I want. It doesn't matter because that's what we're talking about, saying anything you want. Anyway, the Odyssey will be here because the Odyssey has written books and is a writer and will write more books, I know, and has the fabulous D Show and all the stuff that those of us who continue here on alternative broadcasting precisely for the reason, but we own the ability to say and do what we want without the constrictions of brick-and-mortar radio. So we will be talking about banned books as the banned book week closes. Speaking of books, we'll do this, and we'll tell you about stuff, and the artist D will be here with me.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky escapades. Parallel universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Juiced Talk Radio. It's juicy. JuicedTalk.com. Here, Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time. Okay.
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the artist D.
You bring this out in me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure. JuicedTalk.com.
As the phone rings. And there's a void. And what's worse, an empty void.
A void.
Nah. Well, there's a word. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it that way. A void. I didn't realize that.
The creature from the void comes forth.
And that, of course, makes it no longer a void if something's there.
This is true, and I'm here.
Yes, you are here, and boy, you know, for all the times we get together, always carefully planned and everything, and I sprung this upon you, and you're there for the whole sake of doing it, and I really appreciate that.
You did. I was shopping down at the KKK Mart, and I got the text message that I had to be on.
What'd you do? You needed another hoodie, huh? I had no idea where you because of time differences and how people live their lifestyles and times and everything. But I said I was almost thoroughly drunk. Seriously. And I said, I'm thinking to myself, and I heard this thing about the KKK, and I thought about the books, and I said, what do I, you know, I'm like that, I'm impulsive. I said, what do I got to lose? If D is there, you know, D may be there. If D can't do it, D can't do it, whatever. So everyone should know that. I'm just saying that because I think it's great that you're able to squeeze this into whatever schedule you have at the time.
I'm glad that I could be squeezed at this time. And when I got the text message, I actually misread it. I was really excited about the show because I thought we were going to talk about burning books.
Well, yeah.
That's why I said I'm bringing my torch. So I brought my torch.
Oh, I see. That's what that meant. See, I was so drunk. I had no idea. Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah. Rolled with it, but yes, I have a few books I'd like to burn as well as ban. So we're a full presentation tonight.
Absolutely, that's and I think they burn banned. What do they do with banned books? Do they?
I do think the banned books. What people who take it seriously, they do burn them.
So there, okay. So then it works on all different levels. Did you know this? Because this is all ad hoc. Because I just learned about this a couple of days ago, if not a day ago or something. Do you know there was a banned book week?
No, I did not know this.
I didn't either. And I don't even remember where I saw it. I think it was, I think I know where I saw it. LinkedIn, which has become an extremely popular and social networking thing, really? Although I don't know how to use it. I don't know anybody who has used it other than it's one more place you go for all the people you know on Facebook or anywhere
else. Another place I am not. Yeah.
But they send out this, it's not a newsletter, but they say, articles you might want to read. And I don't know why, probably because I have things about my books and whatever I do on my LinkedIn thing page. But they said, and there was an article there from Forbes, and I went, what is this? Banned books, five banned books if you haven't read, you should read in Forbes magazine. I said, well, what is this all about? So obviously I immediately jump over there. I'll pull up the article there later and we'll look at it. But then it said there, it didn't say it. I read that it was banned book week, and it's a week where people, I guess, and you know, I was confused at first, and I really didn't, as I usually don't do. I mean, I didn't do any extensive. Actually, you know what I did? I actually tried. Listen to this. I tried to search just the banned books and see what came up.
Sure.
And what happened was something came up, and I clicked it,
And you know this happens. Probably you knew this before I do. And you clicked it, and a page came on, and then another window opened, and another, and another, and another. What is that?
A trap. That's what that is.
A trap of what is it? What is it? Anyone, does it ever? I mean, I was, you know, you click them and try to stop. It looks like a game. You know, can I stop them as quickly as they come? Like you're shooting down the browsers. But what is
that? Whack-a-mole. I don't know. It's universe gone loco is what it is.
And I just thought, it's not a virus.
No.
It's some
overabundance of advertisement, I'd say.
Perhaps. But so I shut it down. I said, all right, enough of our research. Let's just talk about this because we all know about it. But
that's what your research will get you.
Yeah, exactly. See, so that, and people wonder why I'm so against preparing for this show.
Well, I've always heard that there are banned books, and every year someone posts another list of new and old banned books, but I didn't know there was a week dedicated.
It's great. I think it's great. I wish I could have participated in some other way, shape, or form other than this. I would have, and you know, I could write a book that was banned.
That would be great.
Yeah, we'd say, isn't it? I mean, so I thought of you because of all the obvious reasons, and anybody who listens to the Fabulous D Show knows why, and anyone who listens to the show knows. So I said, let's talk about this because it immediately brought me back, as I was saying, to sneaking into my father's furniture and looking
his drawers.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know. That sounds weird. First of all, how do you sneak into someone's drawers? That's what if it was true.
I've done that.
Sneak into it. Okay. Sneak. All right. And I remember a couple of books, which I knew were banned because there were, when I was growing up, they used to talk about these things because, well, I had the internet and they were just people and they talked about this stuff.
Right.
So you would know. And as I started to want to be a writer and do stuff, I learned about some books. And so the Henry Miller books were the first books that were not to be owned, and yet everybody had them because they were banned.
Right.
And now why a book is banned, and what it means, and why there are still books. And this is the amazing thing. I went, wait a second, we're talking about books that were banned, or there's, and there's, how could there still be banned books, and where do they ban them?
Right.
When was the last time you heard anything about a book banned?
Well, other than that yearly list that some people post on Facebook, there were new books on there that were banned. But I gathered it was like a library thing, like maybe a school library, that they take this seriously and, oh, the children can't read these books anymore. Even though those were some of the ones that are on that list that I've seen previously are children's books or very, you know, old standards of books that I would think, why would they be banned?
We talked here a couple of weeks, no, months ago, I don't know, time, but someone had, some publisher was republishing a Huckleberry Finn and taking out the N-words and stuff.
Oh, no.
They weren't banning the book. They were just going to change it.
Right. We'll just edit the hell out of it.
And, but I haven't heard of any libraries not keeping books. Have you heard that?
No, not like adult libraries. I've heard of children's libraries, like in school libraries.
What did you hear anything recently? What did they ban from a child's?
I can't really think, but it was, you know, we're talking old standards like Alice in Wonderland or something like that. That's what I heard was being banned, like some things like Huckleberry Finn. And it struck me because it was really, really old and really, really boring shit.
Mm.
And that's all I could think of is why would anyone ban these books, because I wouldn't read them.
But if a book is banned for children, that's kind of like an age thing. I mean, in a certain way, you understand there are adult books.
Sure.
Right. And there, you know, there are things that are just adult and 21 and all whatever, 18 and 21, drinking and whatever, pornography or what have you, anything that's adult, that you could almost understand that. That's not a ban because people are people who are able to participate with this media participate. So the child, the youth thing is one thing, but to take it away from adults is, I mean, think about the insult.
It's true, and well, you know, like it's kind of like marijuana or something, because you know they say the books are banned, but everyone's still reading them. So how is it banned? How is it illegal if everyone's still doing it?
If something is banned, it's illegal, correct? That would be it, right?
That would be the assumption.
So then you're right, and think about the disparity in items. Drugs, and that's not, I don't care if they're harmful or not harmful, whatever they do. The point is, here's a illegal substance and book.
Exactly. Well, it pretty much goes with the theme of our wonderful nation and the things that we get into is, you know, you can't read that and you can't smoke that. And yep. They're both just as dangerous for you.
I was thinking about that too, for all the talk that goes on, not even politically, but for all the talk that goes on about this country and the great tradition of this country and all the people who are, trying to rewind culture so that it's back to where they thought it was the best. And then I think about being a kid and think about all the things that were banned. I mean, you know, the moral imperative that took away freedoms. Right. It's banning a book. It's taken away from freedoms. You know, it's taken away from freedom. And so, you know, there's so much stuff in the Constitution that has, I mean, you know, if you want to put parentheses, I mean, they didn't allow that. Benjamin Franklin couldn't take the pornography that he owned and maybe even wrote to the meetings at the Constitutional Congress, and he go, "What ho, oh Jefferson, checketh out." Did they talk about that?
checketh it out.
And what did they call it back then? Where did the word pornography originate anyway? Did they call it
that's
that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
No, I don't think they did. They probably called it smut or something. Or
smut. Yeah, what did they call it? I was watching a movie it was a period piece, and I hate when they do this, and I think it's because younger writers don't get it, or they're trying to make something, or they don't care if it's authentic, but when you're watching what's supposed to be a period piece, and yet the language is modern.
Exactly.
They will say things that there's no way you would have said.
Well, it's just like watching a foreign film, and, you know, it was a foreign occurrence of what you're watching. And it was back in the day, and they're all speaking plain American street language. It's like, no, it should be in subtitles. I mean, make it authentic. Come on.
And language is, I guess, what we're talking about. So you couldn't write things. Or what was it? I saw that recently saw the Anthony Hopkins Hitchcock movie. Well, he played Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah. I loved that.
And you know the part where he said something about there's only one thing worse than going to the dentists, and that's going to the censors.
Yes.
Because he had to go. And they sat there, and I thought about that, and I went, wait a second. There was an entire... There were people who were judging what we could see and not see.
Exactly. And they still are.
I guess they do. Why? Is that the rating system? Are those the people? But they don't censor things, though. In those days, they would tell you, no, you're not doing that.
I think they still do. And there's still, what's it called, whatever in standards. You know, there's still the people that tell people what to do.
Standards and practices.
Standards and practices, yeah.
Television and on radio based on, well, you're right, there are, but that's based on, I don't know what that's based upon. I'm like, this opens up. This banned book thing just opens up an entire universe of misunderstanding.
It does. And just to go down that rabbit hole, because I couldn't help myself, pornography was first labeled pornography in 1843, apparently.
Oh, well, that's well after Benjamin Franklin.
Yep, 1843, 1853, and it was called a bunch of other... It was called soft back in the day.
Soft?
Soft. which is quite the
It's called soft.
And that's what Ben Franklin said. You look at this soft, and Tom Jefferson said, "No, that's not soft."
You ask Lucy. Was that Jefferson? Ask Lucy; she'll tell you. But I'm thinking that that's strange how these things.
But that could be a show in and of itself. The etymology of pornography and what Ben Franklin called it back in the day.
He used to get it directly from Paris. He used to get French, all that French stuff.
Sure.
Because they were. I wonder. You know, that brings up another question. This is just you people are going to have to write this down in your notebooks and go research this later. Maybe we will open up the subject so that people will start looking about it. And that is that certain things were. That weren't allowed here. In other words, let's go back to the Henry Miller book. My father was reading Tropic of Cancer, and it was buried under his pants and overalls and stuff. There weren't police that walked around and went through. At least there weren't, right? At least there was that. But you had this stuff. You shouldn't have it. You shouldn't have this book. It's illegal. They couldn't sell it, but somehow you get it. And the thing is that book was published. And it was allowed in Paris where it was published, even if it was personally published, which I think it was in the beginning. And yet, so in other countries, there were things that were allowed.
And much like today, there's so many things that they can do that we can't do.
Who was I talking to on this show about the Japanese pornography?
Oh, God, they can do a lot of things.
Yeah, but did you know who was it was on this show, but I don't remember the guest or what have you. But we were talking about maybe it was Phil Hong when he was here, because we were talking about maybe it wasn't anywhere when he came. You could watch the Japanese do allow any number of types of pornography. I don't think they have any, but. If you do this, and anyone can do this, I'm not suggesting you should if you have any kind of, if you have any problem with this, what have you. But if you look on the internet for pornography, I am told. If you look and you find these Japanese files, they show these little, whatever they show, and they... they cloud up the genitals.
They do. And it's a full porn of just cloudy sex.
And they show everybody's there, and they're all there, and then suddenly the person who is going to perform an act, their face becomes pixelized, and the object of their oral enjoyment, you can't see it. And I'm thinking to myself, why?
Exactly, but the pixelation isn't even that bad. I mean, it's you can't really make it out, but you can still see. It's not like they put a black. Oh my God! And that's the other thing. I'm told that, I'll put this very scientifically for your listeners, because I know they this isn't the Fabulous D Show, but the Japanese pornography that they will show the full. Naked individual, let's say it's a man, but they will put a sensor, a black sensor strip, right over the top of their penis. And through the whole movie, this thing's just moving around, and it's just like you can see the entire thing, but you just can't. It's like with women, and this X out the nipples or put a black strip over their nipples. You can see the entire breast, but you can't see. The nipples.
Yes, I remember that from the old days too. That there were certain magazines that they did that with they blacken the eyes, with the bar across the eyes, with the bar across the breast, the chest.
Ever since I was a child, why would they do that? And that's always what I asked. I'm like, well, if a man can show their nipples, why can't a woman? Oh, that's sacred. Oh, please.
Well, that's true in that respect. I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking, why show the body at all?
Yes.
Unclothed, if you have to clothe it. I mean, because It's like, why isn't it illegal? Just, and here in Japan, we allow everything. And then you go to look at it and you go, what is this? Why?
And then they say, well, that's everything.
All you can see. Well, that's all you can see. All right. That's at the end of that. So I wonder, in a sense, what is banned in terms of literature in other countries, even now, I wonder, no less historically. A lot of the books that, in other words, when they banned, and I hear they did this, I didn't even know, but Huckleberry Finn at one point or another was banned for some reason.
Right.
What is it, something against painting walls or painting fences or kids with straw hats? I didn't even get it.
It was in 1885, the first ban of Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn due to trash and suitable only for the slums. That was 1885.
This is good. And I do appreciate you actually doing the work as we go along here.
Well, it's just fascinating. It's good. I have to head right to Google.
That's okay. I'm glad you do it, because I speculate to the point where, you know, people spit at me and just just find out or shut up.
But most things on this list I am seeing, you know, it explains why it was banned, and a lot of this is schools. And not just elementary schools, but like high school too.
But this isn't when it's released, is it? This is when did they start? You know, they started doing this, what, years after?
Right. Huckleberry Finn. And this was, you know, well, apparently Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn was 1884. It was banned in 85. So
I guess really?
That was quite a quick.
Look at that. I didn't even know that. Oh, wow. So, wow. And here today, through the years, still considered, I mean, he's considered still, you know, and he is a great American writer. I'm one of the great American, the Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn things. That's wild, because it's kind of like it's going to sound weird, but here we go. It's kind of like Paula Deen.
Mark Twain to Paula Deen.
Well, I mean, it is kind of like that. It was like, come on, we know. Okay, it's like Paula Deen accidentally says this thing. And then she has to lie that she never says it when you know she says it. And you know people say it, and you know this stuff. In other words, there's all this stuff that goes on that we censor in public.
Right.
And it's not necessarily private or what have you. So here's a book that someone reads, and most of the time, I don't know about everybody else, but if I have a book, I usually don't share it with another person directly. Hey, come on, let's read this together in bed. It doesn't happen. So it's a very personal experience. A book has always been a very personal experience. So why on earth would you not want? Forget. See, I just went on now. My head just went ahead of what I was talking about. I mean, who's going to judge this stuff or anything? But Huckleberry Finn. So you have a list there now? Did you?
I do. I found a good list.
Hey! Good lists. Good smells. Hey, is Good Judy? Are you still available at Good Judy? Is it Good Judy?
Good Judy shut down temporarily. It's coming back, I've heard.
Okay, so what did they? I hope they didn't throw out all the D smells.
I hope not.
Did they?
They buried them in the backyard.
What did they do with all those unique D smells?
They put them out back, and every night I hear in South Carolina the dogs howl at the moon.
Well, sure, you have no problem because you're a D and you smell like you.
Exactly.
Anybody wants to smell like you, what are you going to do?
Exactly. They're screwed now. They can't get my scent.
That's weird. So what is that list in any order or what?
It's not. It's just randomly, it sounds like, banned books. Oh, banned books that shaped America.
All right.
That's the basics. Autobiography of Malcolm X.
Really? What year? Give us a year when you got these.
It was written in 1965. It doesn't say when it was banned. Objectors have called the seminal work a how-to manual for crime. Anti-white statements. Oh, anti-white. Oh, how horrible.
You know, I tout that movie. I think that Spike Jonze movie, I think that's one of the most brilliant movies.
It was.
Malcolm X. And if anybody watches that and just thinks, I mean, if they can only see it at the level, you know, of being radical Islamic black, that's a sad, sad viewer. You know? And so here's the book. But I do remember not knowing about Malcolm X when he was around and during that time when I was a teenager. And everybody said, all they said was bad things, that you couldn't look it up. So even that was the general, in other words, to be misunderstood while you're even, while you're alive in your time. Of course, you and I would know that then, right off the bat. But, okay, so, but I didn't know there was an autobiography. Well, here's a good question. Who wrote it?
Malcolm X. Yes. And well, Alex Haley. So, you know, two people wrote the same one.
That was, you know, I submitted, I know people are going to know, they said, hey, I read that joke somewhere because it's mine. I submitted a sitcom idea to one of the networks about a young black boy who gets into Islamic stuff and but he's young, he's a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a situation comedy, and I called it Malcolm X in the Middle, and the networks just wouldn't buy it.
Imagine.
So okay, give us okay. So there was that book now, and that's really, you just went from Huckleberry 18 to 40 whatever. To
yeah, that. These are all over. Just I guess historical books people find to be very.
Look down the list and do it in your head. Chronologically. Let's see how far back you could go, and then let's come up.
1903, Call of the Wild by Jack London.
Really? Call of the Wild was banned?
Yes. Challenged for its dark tone and bloody violence.
Wow.
Seen as a man and his dog story.
Yeah, it was a man and his dog. Yeah, but it wasn't bestiality, for God's sake. A man and his dog was a... Wow. I'm starting to understand why Banned Book Week is so important. Okay, go ahead.
That was banned in Italy, Yugoslavia, and Nazi Germany in the late 1920s because it was considered too radical.
Which answers our question about my question about other countries. So you're saying,
right? There you go. It's 1855. Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman.
Oh, Walt Whitman. Walt Whitman. Certainly the most noted Brooklynite. And although people don't know, do you know that Walt Whitman grew up and was from Brooklyn? Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know things like Mary Tyler Moore and Jackie Gleason. You know? Mm-hmm. Walt Whitman, yes.
Right.
And Leaves of Grass was, what is the reason there?
It was actually banned in Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Because it was considered filthy. Text disturbing and filthy.
Wow. <Yes. laughs> Wow. Banned in Pennsylvania. It's a one state. A state banned it. Okay. So,
and here's one. This is a perfect example of what I was talking about at the start, is 1851, Moby Dick. These are the books that I think of that, why would anyone ban it? I can't even read it. It bores me to tears.
You know, I think I did. We were talking about, I did another book list a couple months ago. And I was telling Jack about this because I know it's a very difficult. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Moby Dick is incredible, but today this is how things change. And I'll go over this again because today, if I say Moby Dick, you immediately think of what?
Well, I think of the book.
Well, you think of, well, okay, but you say Moby Dick and it's a whale. Everybody knows Moby Dick is a whale.
It's a whale.
Nobody, people who haven't read the book, see nothing. Nobody is going to go, squirrel? You know, everyone knows.
True, yes.
The name, Moby Dick, okay. Well, you know when that book came out, before it was banned, obviously.
1851, apparently.
Yeah, it wasn't selling, because the title. It was like, what is this? What is it? Nobody knew. In other words, when it came out, nobody knew because they didn't read it and they didn't buy it because it had a weird title. Nobody knew at that time Moby Dick was a whale. So the publisher went to Herman and he said, listen, can we put something, a little title? And believe it or not, this is when the book started to sell and came to the attention of people. The original title was Moby Dick. It was altered and began selling when they added this on the cover: Moby Dick or the White Whale.
I'm so glad you explained that, because that's what I'm seeing. It actually said that in this title was Moby Dick or the Whale, and I'm thinking, why or the Whale?
Or? It says, yeah, there might have even been Or the Whale and then Or the White Whale, because it was like, what's a Moby Dick? You know?
Exactly.
And that alone might have gotten some people upset. Because maybe looking up Moby as an adjective. What the hell does that mean? So there. And I did not know. I thought Moby Dick would have been. What did it, okay, now go back to what it says, why it was banned.
A Texas school, of course, banned the book from its advanced English class because it conflicted with their community values in 1996.
96? Yes. They banned Moby Dick, their values. You got to wonder. Does that have to do with, is that like revenge, or is that, what do you wonder what, I wonder what that means.
Exactly. And I would love, you know, to tell Herman Melville, do you know that in 1996, you conflicted with community values?
Yeah. What community? What community?
What community values? What community values could possibly be more stringent than the community values in 1851?
I just had this image of Herman Melville going, damn, you know, I'm sorry I wrote that damn thing. It's out, the things and the Ahabs and all that. Oh, man. But let's look at it this way. There would not be a Starbucks were there not the book, Moby Dick. So at least, and you know how many people don't know that Starbucks is a name that originates from the book? People go into Starbucks, think it has something to do with William Shatner. Or the other guy. I am your father.
Darth Vader.
Yeah, that him, that guy. I wonder if they'll ever. It would be fascinating to see some of the things. Well, go on. Maybe there's some things on there. I'm just going to be surprised from here on in. Now, this is certain sections, sectors, or certain areas of life where these things are being banned. While Moby Dick would be banned from that school, that doesn't mean that the kid couldn't go out and buy Moby Dick and read it for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, at home.
And this does seem to be most of, I mean, unless it's like the other one that we saw banned in Yugoslavia and a whole country.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise they seem to be more sector driven, more, this is just in the schools or just in Pennsylvania or something, not, you know, the entire country cannot dare read this.
Well, I guess Banned Book Week is going to cover everything. So
pretty much,
we might
yeah.
as well cover
the Scarlet Letter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
1850. Yeah. Let's see. It was parents in a school district called the book pornographic and obscene in 1977.
Now, isn't that odd? Because the book itself is all about, I mean, on the surface, the story is, well, you know, if you commit adultery, we're going to let everybody know that you're a slut.
Right.
And we'll put this big A on you. So the book itself is saying, the story is saying, we're going to brand you people for being sinners.
Right.
Now,
you'd
people
think they'd like that.
Yeah, exactly. I would think they would be like, you better read this one. Well, not little Jeanette, because, you know, there's an A sitting in my closet waiting for you. If you don't, you know, whatever. I don't, it's weird. Okay.
Well, and this is the only one I see on here so far that is not a surprise, is by Alfred Kinsey, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male.
Oh,
of course, yeah. You know, his revealing study, of yeah. course people wouldn't like that.
That you said Kinsey, right?
Kinsey, yes.
Yeah, well, that was a lot of trouble. He caused a lot of trouble with people.
Yes.
People were really upset about that. Why on earth should we know why we behave this way when it comes to sexuality? What are you,
well,
crazy?
And just the thought that he, you know, proved basically that, you know, we're not just one thing or the other. You know, heaven forbid we're not black and white creatures.
And that probably, again, explains the idea for banning in any way, shape, or form. And that is because whatever the product of the book, it's threatening.
It is.
It's threatening to whatever we want to standards that we adhere to, as if there are standards.
As if there are.
Which happens to be the name of my new book. As If There Are Standards by Frank Catullo. I'll be at Book Bakers and Blast Binders next week. Blast Binders. As If There Were Standards. Okay, obviously anything that would have the word sex in it at any given point would have been banned. What else is on there?
A Streetcar Named Desire.
Okay, wait a second. A Streetcar is a book.
It's a book?
Yes, it's a book.
Tennessee Williams wrote.
I tend to forget it as a book and only know it as a play.
Mm.
But unless it was a book before... that's weird. Okay, A Streetcar Named Desire... because of the word desire, what does it say there?
Sexual content of the play. I guess he wrote the play.
It's a play, yeah.
So
okay.
It's the play, which later became popular, raised eyebrows, led to self-censorship where the film was being made. Director left a number of scenes on the cutting room floor as it was against his immoral. It was immoral. It's totally immoral.
You know, Well, they're always called books. You know, in books and book is a play is a book. They call it a book.
Indeed.
So that's why they say Rodgers and Hammerstein, music by Richard Rodgers, book by Oscar Hammerstein. Book. The book are the words. So you were right, and I was right also. It wasn't actually prose. It was the play itself, which
play
was
itself.
The book. Desire, I guess. And, you know, here's what was funny, too. And that is that we're talking about, for all due purposes, we're talking about classics here. I mean,
right. And that's what it always is. They're talking about the band classics.
And yet, I subscribe to something on Facebook. I guess it's a page. I don't know. It's called Vintage Sleaze. do you know Vintage? Do you have that on your Omni? Does Omni have that one?
I don't, but I'm going to have to get that.
Get it. And what Vintage Sleaze does is they're constantly printing. All they do is print the covers of publications from the past, which are and lots of times they have those cartoons. I say cartoons, but they're drawing. You know, they're drawings. They're not very realistic drawings. I say they're cartoons because they're overemphasized drawings of women with, you know, giant breasts and men are in, and it's all sleazy. And some of it are books. You know, some of them are books because pulp, you know, they're pulp, dirty little books. In other words, what we're saying is that they're treating these books that became eventually classics, but there were tons of books that were written primarily for the reason to incite your libido. Right. Okay. So even though we're not saying this, I'm not saying you shouldn't read that or you can't read that or shouldn't read that. It doesn't matter. But the point is that people were banning things that weren't meant to do that. That wasn't their function. They were using those particular forms of behavior for one reason or another and those words for one reason or another. And yet all the other stuff was prolific everywhere. In other words, I'd found A Tropic of Cancer, and no doubt my father was no literary, he's no follower of literature. So he wasn't, when he got it because of page, 36, page 102, I could quote them. he got it because of that and read it because it was everyone said it's a dirty book. And that's it. It's a dirty book. But he had these other things that were, you'll never hear anybody say, well, I really wanted to be a writer once I read The Dripping Vulva. Right? You just don't hear people say that. The descriptive prose, the feelings, the characters, characters drove that. There was a lot of driving in those. Yes.
There was a lot of driving.
A lot of drive in that. You never hear anybody talk about the real terrible pieces of literature. We're just the literature. Those are just where they automatically based. Like, we don't even bother with those. Yeah.
That's what I was kind of thinking along the lines of, I could give you a list of books that I think that should have been banned.
Yeah, we'll go into that. We'll go into that. And then we're being just as bad as anyone else then. But I know what you're saying. There are books that just...
And also, not that, I think they're bad and they should be banned, but that I would have expected the public to ban
Okay.
more than these.
Oh, okay. That would be, yeah, that would be fascinating. Let's do that. Let's do that after the top of the hour.
Let's do that.
Yeah, okay.
Right after we advertise my next book, The Dripping Vulva.
The Dripping. I already forgot the title. Is that what I said? The Dripping. Oh, yeah. The Dripping Vulva. The Pounding. The Driving Vulva. All those. It's a whole series of, it's the Vulva series.
That's the subtitle.
Yeah, the Dripping Vulva. The Driving Vulva. Son of Vulva.
And I'll be at Book Blasters tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be there. The Vulva series begins next week. Yes, and for all the things I've written and tried to do that made sense and brought people thoughts and feelings, I just gave it all up, and that's well, what I'm. That this is the one.
What did I Facebook the other day? If I think I'm saying something epic, nobody pays attention.
Yeah.
The minute I say something everyone has already heard, they go apeshit.
I know. I'll always hit like for that because it's amazing. I just don't have the, I don't even have the understanding of that. Even, and I've said this 100 times, if not 1,000 times, who's counting, on this show. This show's I just walk away from and I go, oh my God, I don't know what. And then I get the most mail on the shows I don't like.
Right.
I'm not even, I mean, here I am, and the ones I really like, I tell people to listen to, and they go, yeah, that's all right.
So if anyone ever wonders why I gave it all up and wrote The Dripping Vulva.
Yes, which is the name of a book in itself, Why I Gave It Up and Wrote The Dripping Vulva by Frank Cotolo. That's it. That's the one. This is Cotolo Chronicles. We are so lucky to have gotten the artist D here for this ad hoc and certainly informative show on banned books and banned everythings. And that's why you should certainly have your Cotolo Chronicles notebook in front of you for this show, because we're not going to annotate everything we talk about. There can be books you're going to want to know and stuff, and you can go look for them. Because now, and if you think about this, this could be part of we could talk about anything whenever we want. We don't have to do it in order. But isn't it fascinating now, since this internet thing started, how no matter where you go, I mean, I don't know what's banned. How can you ban anything anymore? You can get on the internet. You know, I could watch Wild Wolves Make Love to Nuns, you know?
Fabulous movie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, how on earth, if you could go anywhere and do anything, can anything be banned anymore?
It's a good question.
And it was unanswered. See, we just let something. You.
We totally just, unanswered.
We just gave you that dynamic pause there.
I don't have the answer. I think it's amazing. Anyone can censor, ban, or prohibit anything.
Anything.
Anymore.
Anything. Well, that's what I meant about the Triple K coming to Gettysburg.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do? The people who allow people to have the space for whatever they have, a meeting or a convention, whatever it is, what are they going to do? Are they going to say, no, you can't go because of what you do? No, that freedom of speech is supposed to cover all. And yet there are people walking around town saying, No.
It's just amazing. That's what they do not understand. It is the other side of it. It leaves a bitter taste in all of our mouths, but it's true. If we can have our say for what we like, you know, it's okay, but the same goes for them, and they might be total asshats,
yeah,
but they have that right as well to say some stupid stuff.
I heard the greatest term a friend of mine said last week. I didn't say it. It was on... It was, I think, and now I'm going to remember it. I hope I'm going to remember it correctly. I always look at little words, compound words that you could call people for being crazy or just, like you said, what'd you say, ass, like ass
clown?
Ass hat. I like that. Like, you know, they're ass clowns, right?
Yes. And you know, I grew up in the 90s when I say ass hat. I don't know why.
Is that from the 90s?
I don't know. 80s, 90s.
Okay. How about this one? And I don't know, maybe this is a new one. Dick Nugget.
That is a new one.
Is it? We may have to give that credit to Felicia Pineapple.
She may have just created
one day.
Something.
One day may show up on the show. The elusive Felicia Pineapple. Yeah. Dick nugget.
I've been waiting.
I love that. I love that. It's like, don't be a dick nugget. I said it to my son the other day. Don't be a dick nugget. I don't know why that's
the things that come to mind. I'm picturing dick nuggets. Like, you know. I'll have number one with a side of dick nuggets and a frosty.
Now that McDonald's is increasing its menu and opening up for possible. Yes, the healthy dick nugget.
Yes, and for dessert, I'll have the dripping vulva. Full round.
Wait, I'm shaked. We got shaked vulvas. We got vulva floats.
She wouldn't want the frozen vulva, sir.
I don't know. I just suddenly I said, my God, where's Velvet when you need her?
She could tell us about dripping, shaken, frozen vulvas.
You know, and we're turning the show into being banned. That's what we're doing. Just by talking like this.
Usually, anyone who has me on gets banned. Yes.
Yeah. You know, you're no, but
get out in people.
Compared to the things that that I've heard on internet, and I, you know, it's really calmed down. I mean, your show's not that. I'm looking for the word.
Certainly not anymore.
What explicit? I mean, in terms of word, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I think this is the perfect example. When we do get vulgar or dirty or something that would be labeled as such, it's in a classy, educational manner.
Yeah, I agree. But it's not like you're listening to.
I won't even say it. No, that would be terrible. I can't say it.
But I'm thinking
about someone we know.
Oh, someone we know who says, who just, if it's part of your normal speech that you speak a certain way and you use certain words, that's different than if you're just using it.
I just think of all these shows that, you know, the old school of internet broadcast where they just get on in their living room and they just talk.
Yeah.
Complete nonsense, that kind of crap that just does not go.
I talked about, I forgot his name. I mean, I would tell you his name if I thought, but when MCAST began, the first live radio station, we were going on live, and there was this one guy who was so happy that he could now say these words. That it was it literally after he played the first record, and then he'd play these records. Listen to me, I'm dating myself. He'd find these songs, and he'd play these songs, and they were all, you know, screaming, yelling, metal. They're just screaming these words. The point I'm trying to make here, if there's any point at all, is that after, like, one little segment, it was already used. It was tired. I don't want to hear the rest. You know, it's like, there's no impact at all here. It just becomes like a drone.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of the banning of certain things. That's what it does. It makes people want it so badly that when they finally unban it, they just go crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's spent. It's just used. They shoot their loads immediately, and it's just like, well, now what?
Exactly.
You know, that's why I didn't even like, you know, the idea of when radio went to, you know, of satellite and the talk shows on satellite, who, of course, are not. They're not be getting to the any FCCs or rules or anything. So, right. And guys like, you know, Howard Stern said, let's go there and we could do everything, you know. And there's just something about pushing the envelope when you don't have the envelope anymore.
Right.
That it's like, so what, you know? And that's the same thing with banned books. So if you can read it, it's no big deal. But if you can't read it, boy, do you want to read it now.
Which is kind of, it's like edging on conspiracy theory because, you know, why did they ban them? Did they really ban them for that? Or was, you know, because if I want someone to do something, I will keep it from them. They'll want to do it more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole, that's like living. That's just anything with living. You know, you want to do it until you do it, and then you're done.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it no more.
Yeah. And that's a, so I don't have that book. I had a great, there was a great quote. I wrote it down from this very strange movie I saw called The Beach. Did you ever see a movie called The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio? I even said his name wrong.
No.
DiCaprio. No. Well, there was something in there. It says, love just like hate, eventually fades and turns into something, or gives you the yearning for something strange and exciting or something. I guess I can't quote it. If I can't quote it right, I won't quote it at all. But that's the idea. It's like what you're saying, which is
it
like
is, and that's a lot like love. That's what I mean. Everybody wants to get married. Everybody wants to have kids until they get married and have kids.
And then the experience itself is never as dreamy or fake. And that maybe that's where the band thing comes from. That's what I meant about standards. People want to believe in this way, that way. And this and that. Why don't we take a short break and we can both I know I got a I've had a lot of coffee and water here before the last whenever I was on here. So we'll run a couple of things and then we'll come back and we'll talk about books you want to be banned and we'll go over that list then a little bit more. How about that?
That sounds divine. Okay. And fabulous.
And fabulous. And it is fabulous as we are here of F&D. on the spot, F&D on the spot here at Cthulhu Chronicles Y2K. Well, we will be right back.
Cthulhu Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
These are the sounds of impaired driving. And then...
I don't think he's going to make it.
When you drive impaired, there's a price we all pay. Emergency response costs, doctors, caregivers, and more. Studies show that impaired driving costs us billions of dollars each year. But the victims of impaired driving pay the biggest price.
Change for the better.
Mad Canada. Helping the victim, stopping the crime.
In a world where reading is dying out, a new champion emerges. Wacky Escapades. Parallel Universes.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Frank Cotolo.
There's never a dull moment as Frank weaves a tale of a writer making you laugh, chuckle, and learn a bit about life. Pick up License to Scale by Frank Cotolo, now on Amazon for your Kindle.
Juiced Talk Radio. JuicedTalk.com. Hear Frank Cotolo's Cotolo Chronicles.
Imagine if there were companies that made cookies, and they only got together to make like one a certain amount of cookies for a certain amount of time, okay?
Transistor by Velvet Steel.
You know, you've got short nipples, you've got long nipples that stick up from the body, you've got big areolas, you've got small areolas, you've got different colors, you've got hair growing off them, you've got everything going on, you've got veiny nipples, you've got all kinds of different things. But for some people, they have really small nipples.
And the Fabulous D Show by me, the Artist D.
You bring this out of me.
I know. And that's why this is so unique, because you could do a million of your own shows.
And I would never do this there, no.
Exactly. You'd never start saying, who did they suck off to get that?
All at Juiced Talk, archived for your listening pleasure.
JuiceTalk.com.
Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And oh, was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin
Up
stone.
You go!
The odometer.
Whoa!
Oh, and the lightning rod. Ingenuity, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市，啊咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。 Cthulhu Chronicles.
That was totally coincidental that there was something there about Ben Franklin.
That was pretty good timing.
Yeah, that's weird that that came up. I didn't even realize. So he did, yeah. Spectacles, and he was a spectacle himself. We talked about there. Let's just give a little other promo here to Juice Talk, because your show, my show, and Velvet Show.
Yes.
Available at JuiceTalk.com, and there's also a Juice Talk Radio where while you download stuff, you can listen to stuff.
Indeed, you can listen to it as you download it. Or listen to something else while you download something else.
Yeah, and I'm still working on some other stuff that we're going to throw on there. So go listen to some of that stuff while you're doing that stuff, and then get
on. And we've got Four Culture Radio.
That's what I was going to talk about next. Yeah, let's talk first about the magazine, because in the last week I forgot to mention it at all. I try to mention it every single week. FourCulture.com is I really haven't heard. Why don't you do this spot? Go ahead. Tell us. Let's hear it from you.
FourCulture.com, Four Culture Magazine, it's amazing. For the underground, for the artists, for your culture. Definitely the magazine that you've been waiting for. And that was a bit too sound clippy for me, but...
Well, it's cutting edge. It's because this is where magazines are going, onto the web.
Yeah, it was kind of put me on the spot, because it's like, what can I say? It's just amazing. But Frank is in it. You write that column every issue. It is every 2 months we come out with a new issue featuring new artists, new music of the underground, not the popular bullshit, not the stuff that should be censored because it's drivel. We feature the more real things.
And
that will move you.
Yeah, and it's important that everyone understands that this is a beautiful... thank goodness. Someone just wrote on my... Thank goodness for Wi-Fi listening. Someone just...
Well, I'm thankful for Wi-Fi, too, so they can listen to us.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, absolutely. There's Wi-Fi all over the place. But Four Culture Radio... So Four Culture is a magazine. Let's separate this here.
Right.
It's an online magazine, and if you have an iPad or a phone or an e-phone or an iPhone or whatever it is, you could... You use your fingers like you do with everything else, and you could and you turn the pages.
You do,
and that's why it's cutting edge too. Not just the articles and the content, but the very nature of this digital magazine. So it's not like you're just gonna, and it's true that I haven't seen any others like that. Even when you go to magazines like Newsweek, I think just stopped. Someone just stopped and said, we're only going to do it online now. And they
A lot of people have gone online only, but it's not...
Not like that.
It's not the same. No.
The format is fascinating because it retains the beauty of the page when you turn it and have it and hold it. And so it's kind of an actual digital thing, digitally actual.
And I should say, I'm in absolute awe of... where we're headed, not just Four Culture Magazine and the radio, but just that medium to get, because I recently got a tablet. I got one of
the pads. Oh, did you? Did you get a tablet?
I did. And I got it mostly because of my work with, and I mean, it's just as good as taking the physical magazine with me. I could just take the tablet and it's like, no, look at this. It's on the screen. I love it. But for the radio, this is, we've been tied to our computers in our rooms, sitting in our chairs.
Yeah.
We can't, if we want internet radio, we have to be stationary. But now with the tablet and its wireless and the phone, also, I can get an app. We're on all of the apps on for the 4Culture Radio. So the other night, I took my tablet in around the house with me, and it was on the radio station, and it was like having the portable radio back in the day. It just blew my mind that we can finally do that. And it's mine. It's ours. It's not just mine. But, you know, I helped create this, and that's just amazing.
You're a great force in it. Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin. You and the other people we've talked to, I know, who just put this together. It's really great. And I was so impressed about it. Not that I mean, if you'd come out with a mimeograph. Listen to me, I'm saying, can I say mimeograph? I was just going to. If you, the artist, had come out with a mimeograph to the thing that you were going to stick in an envelope and send to people, I'd still write for you. That doesn't matter, you know. But it's so impressive, and it's always such a thrill for me, who doesn't really care if I see myself or my name in print. But every time it's going to show up, it's like, oh wow, I get to read my article and look at it. It's like such a kick. I'm like a kid again. And the Wi-Fi thing. You know who it was? I'll tell you who it is. It's Dr. Woldar, who on Skype just came in and said, thank goodness for Wi-Fi. He's in a parking lot in Princeton and he's listening to this. Princeton,
New
Jersey.
I love it.
In Princeton, New Jersey. Ever since this show went to went mobile, it has just been I can't use the word fabulous anymore. Not thank you. I have to find another word without. What does it say here? Tell D hello from Doc. Yes, hello from Doc Woldar. D.
Hello, Doc Woldar. I was wondering where Woldar was tonight. Actually, apparently he's in Princeton, New Jersey, in a parking lot. But I thought he could have a few things. Yeah. I was expecting him to Skype in a couple messages.
He does.
I've heard him. I've heard him interact. He's very smart.
That goes without saying. The Woldar comes on my show, and I'm like, Frank the retard. That's all I am. I don't even know where to start. I just feel so. And I don't mean little. I mean, I feel okay. I'm okay with myself as a jerk. That's not the point. The point is that it's just. I'm so in awe of all of that. You know, brainiacness, brainiacosity.
Well, that's why I expected more Skyping. I mean, as far as the little messages, because I was kind of afraid to mention a few of these books, because while they're old classics, I've not really immersed myself in the classics as much as some may assume that I have. I've stayed pretty much underground with my reading. Mm.
Well, we know, for all we know, Doc Woldar's missed a bunch of them. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, just because you're smart doesn't mean... I guess I just proved that, doesn't it?
Has everyone read The Old Man and the Sea?
I'll tell you something about The Old Man and the Sea.
I wanted him to drown. That's what I like.
No, he's at Princeton for Freeman Dyson's 90th birthday. Let's all say happy birthday to Freeman Dyson.
I love that name.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Freeman.
Happy birthday to you, Freeman Dyson, 90. Happy birthday. Dr. Woldar, you tell Freeman Dyson that we said happy birthday here.
Bet he's seen a lot of things banned and unbanned in his life.
I'm trying to figure out why they're having his birthday party in a parking lot.
90 years old, you could have afforded something a little better than that.
Yeah, a parking lot. Maybe he's maybe. He's still got a lot of drive left in him. Thank you very much. So, I was going to say something about, Well, I never thought it would get that response, but I like it.
It was one of those subtle.
Yeah. I was, Four Culture. I forgot exactly what I was going to say about it, but everybody go to fourculture.com and you can sign in there, right? And then you get all sorts of, get email things and stuff? Well, how happens if you sign in?
You can sign in. You get email things. We don't do many email things because people aren't really into that these days, unfortunately. I love my Diva newsletter at theartistd.com.
Yeah.
You'll get stuff there.
Right.
But for Culture, we haven't really done the email campaigning because, you know, New Age people, oddly, they're not as much on their email as they should be.
So and signing up, get what? You get mobile. You get mobile awareness. You get mobile. What are they? What is that called again? Mobile awareness. What do you get that? What do they call them? What alerts? What do you get?
Mobile alerts.
I don't know. Well, why would you sign up at 4Culture? What do you get?
Well, there's not really much to sign up for right now. I'm sorry. I apologize to our new marketing director.
We want to know our readers, right? We want you to.
We have a street team. We're gathering a street team. And I don't know if it's up yet, but there is. You can join the mailing list, which will get you on the street team eventually.
Okay.
And we have swag, as the kids like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And we will get you into certain events, and you will be part of our team, and that will get you things, more things than just swag. Because if you don't want just a sticker, we might be able to, you know, work something out there.
So there you go. The 4Culture magazine, the complete digital magazine, is also urging to be more interactive.
We are.
And so go sign up. Give them your email. They will not give it to anybody else so that you won't get certain things through. You won't get junk spam or whatever it's called anymore. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I'm still getting, and I was accumulating stuff. Emails. I'm still getting these absurd emails for money that I won, and I can't believe that they haven't taken me, of all people, off these lists after all I've done to expose these bananas.
It's amazing they still do that and they still catch people.
Yeah, they're not making any. And all the, I'm going to do one, I think I'm going to do a show eventually, all the other scams that are going on with the, I'm just every week. And it happens on Facebook, too. There's 10 or 20 girls and women who want to be my friend, and they're looking for a person, and they want, I don't even know this. You know, I always try to find out, what is the scam? What do they want? They want money? They want what? I mean, how much time do you have to spend to find these scams? I don't have all the time to do that. But it's fun to go through. And I still, see, I have fun writing back, as everybody knows. That's what I mean. I was accumulating more responses because I write back to all the people who tell me things. But you know, and all those letters would be banned, by the way. All those emails.
I'm sure.
If they're reading emails at the NSA, they're having a ball with my stuff. I'm telling you.
They love you.
They're just crazy about me. Let's get back to the books now. We're here with this is Cthulhu Chronicles, by the way, again. And the fabulous D. Is with me. Yeah, well, you know, the word was created. I just knew. You just, it was created for you. The fabulous D with us here on Y2K plus 13. On, what are we ending? We're ending, this is it. We're ending September.
The end of September, yes.
Wow, we're heading towards the Bone Garden again.
We are. I'm so excited. I'm always so excited.
Wow.
We were just there.
Oh, I don't like how quickly this is going.
Me neither.
Well, let's get back to the show while we still have half hour left here.
And while we're not banned.
No. Well, they'll never get rid of us. We'll get rid of ourselves. The banned books, you got a list? You have a list? We're looking at the list that D has right there, and we're riffing from that.
We are.
So let's go back to the list of banned books. And
one that made me gasp in amazement that it was on the list, because this was one that I would recommend for people to read that should be banned. So I guess people did agree with me on this one. Their Eyes Were Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston. And I cannot say enough wonderful things about Zora Neale Hurston.
I don't know this book at all.
Exactly. That's that's the kind of books that I'm talking about.
What is it about? I mean, why would that? It's on the list there because it was banned, or was it a bestseller? Does anybody know anything about this?
It was actually a bestseller. Let's see. It made Times Magazine list of top 100 best English language novels of 1923. to 2005. Actually, it was written in 1937, and it was one of the top novels of the day. It was banned by students of the advanced English class of Virginia High School because it objected to language and sexual content. And it's a great story. You should just, everyone should read, because she was a black woman who really got to live when a lot of black women did not get to live. And I'm talking about, you know, have fun, have a good time, actually have a life and a very successful writing career.
Well, listeners, there's a name I would put down, and I would put that in big letters on your in your book and look that up later.
I've tweeted about her before. I think everyone needs to know. Zora Neale Hurston.
Well, I'm going to have see, there's see, that's what I mean. There's still tons of stuff. For all the people who say to me when I talk to them, and I hate to feel so erudite when I'm not, but I mention things and I quote things and stuff that I that's just, you know, commonplace for me, and I'm still talking to people who look at me like, oh, you know, you're a smart guy because you read that. What are you talking to me? And there's so much I haven't read. There's so much I'm not going to read because I just know I don't have the life left to do it. And here's so here is so there. I didn't even know that. But they banned it again. Why?
Language and sexual content.
Yeah, not the fact that it was a black author.
Well, yeah, that might have had something to do with it.
Yeah. Okay, there's one there. Give us another one.
We all know To Kill a Mockingbird, that was banned.
I didn't know To Kill a Mockingbird was banned. And I got to say something, and I'm going to say it here right now. I never liked that book. I don't for a moment not know what the book is about. I don't for a moment not appreciate its themes, you know?
But it's one of these classics that I have never read.
I just couldn't get into it. I'm very strange with books, as I've said before, and that the style of that book, the way it, I don't know, just how it was written, just didn't get to me. In fact, when I was in, I've told this story before, and I was in, I think it was 9th grade or what have you. I can't remember his name. The teacher gave us a book that something Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, and it's a very famous book. It's called A Separate Piece. And it's a book that they made you read. And, well, you know, and that's the other thing. I mean, you're talking about they banned books, and then they made you read books. It's like, going, no, wait, I'm sorry. And, you know, and I said to this teacher, because I started to read it, and I went, look, I said, Mr. I forgot his name. I said, I can't read this book. It's terrible. And even then, I was like, well, you have to read the book. And he said, you just have to read it. And I said, no, I don't want to read it. And I actually said that to my. I said, I can't get through this book, and I really do have a life to lead. And I feel like, I said this to the teacher in the 10th grade. I said, I feel like this is like taking away from my life. It's terrible, this book. Just tell us the themes or whatever you want to get through. I said, I can't read. It's horrible. And we should really like or dislike a book. You know, he says, well, you haven't finished it. How do you know you don't like it? I said, because, you know, I know. I just know. It's terrible. Yeah. So I set upon a protest, and I said, I'm not reading. He says, well, you're going to fail this particular part of it, of the class. And you're going to get an F on this and that thing. And I said, all right, so just give it to me now, and I'll be reading something else in the back while you write your big F on my thing.
Boy, I love it.
He didn't like that, boy. That was.
No, of course not.
No. And my father said, why'd you get an F here? What is this F? You got an F? Just look at an F. My father never really perused my report cards, but he did the F's they wrote in law, you know, big red letters.
Yes.
So he says, why do you get an F? I said, I didn't like the book. It was a horrible book, Dad. They made us read it. He goes, okay. But, so there are books, but my point is that, look, they make you read books you don't like, and then they take away books that you might like. And who knows what you're going to learn from a book that they ban.
Right, and I think I've said it before on your show, and I guess this is a perfect show to repeat that exact portion of my life when, you know, I'd never read. I was not a reader growing up because they told us to read these horrible books that bored me to death, and I couldn't get through them. They were boring as all hell, and I was like 17, 18 when I decided, because somewhere along the lines of school, I decided I'm not going to read ever again. I have no interest in books. Books are boring.
Well, I talk about a rebel.
Right. Well, you know, just as far as, you know, these people that could pick up a book and enjoy it, I had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And then it was, you know, I was after high school, I picked up a book after, you know, being graduated for a while and not having books in my life. I picked up something and thought, you know, let me just read it and thought, you know, this is interesting, because it was someone who was writing who I agreed with.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, this was someone who long ago lived a life a lot like mine. And it was like, wow, people are alive that are writing, or were alive, that wrote books that actually could appeal to me. And from there on out, it was like, voraciously, I wanted to get my hands on all this stuff. But I really think that the forced reading in school really ruined me for a while. And I'm very bitter about the time that it wasted. Because now, you said something earlier about, you know, you'll never have enough time to read, not enough life left to read all these things. Mm. And I'm starting to feel that way now, that I'm digging more and more into all these books that I'm finding, and it's like I can't get them through them fast enough because I want to fit it all in. And I'm thinking, my God, what if I died before I finished reading this or the next one or the next one? I wish I had more time to fit it all in, and I could have had more time if I was allowed or introduced to the things from, you know, kindergarten of, you know, read what you want. I would have been reading what I wanted, and I could have had 18 years of boring life filled with literature that actually meant something.
Yeah, I can totally agree. Even the books that I hated the books that taught us to read.
Yes.
When I discovered Dick and Jane, I could have been the first literary serial killer right there, or pedophile. Well, not pedophile. I didn't want them. And it wasn't a sexual thing. It was an anger. These kids are so stupid. It's like when I heard, well, even when I was a kid before I was able to read, when they talked about Jack and Jill going up that hill, and I think, like, what, you know, these kids are sick. They're stupid. And then Dick and Jenny teach us. Here's Dick and Jane and the dog Spot,
mm-hmm.
You know. And I was like, even I was like embarrassed, and I was just learning to read, and I was just like, ew.
Exactly. If Humpty Dumpty was an egg, why would he sit on a wall?
Oh yeah,
let's get into that. Fall off, for God's sake, you idiot! And you're done. And then he was pissed off that he got put back together the wrong way. Well, whose fault was that?
I have no idea why they were so. I guess because he was a freak. All the king's horses. Like the horses cared, and all the king's men. So the horses actually helped the men try to put him back together again. Do you realize what? When you look at, I always looked at these things literally. That got me in trouble too, because teachers would say, wherever I was going, teachers would say, like, no, just none of your business. Look, just listen to what it says. Don't look into it.
It's like reading the Bible. Just read it.
Yeah, and they start asking questions. But I've read things to address what you said there. I've read things that don't agree with me, and I've looked at, you know, that don't, I don't necessarily agree with, just to try to not try to understand people who think differently, but to as a contrast, which actually supports what I think and feel by seeing seeing what they're looking at, and you could get, you know, right through it. But that's interesting about how you discovered books, though, and that is the way to discover them. Forcing does not work.
No.
But once you find that there are other, because what are you doing? I mean, you're hearing there's voices out there like me, and they wrote it down. That's
exactly, and that's my life was of that. You know, well, what do you want to read? Well, I want to read the Satanic Bible. No, you can't. You know, I want to read the witches something something. No, that's about witches. That's about Satanists. And if I would have picked that up at a younger age, it would be like, oh my God, they don't know what they're talking about, these people. And that there's nothing wrong with this book. Or the other book that I read slightly out of high school was by Salvador Dali. And it's like, this guy is a weird, crazy freak.
Yeah.
And if I would have read that when I was 12, I would have probably felt a little better about myself.
Yeah. Well, we think those things. We do say. But you're right. How people guide you toward that is important, especially with reading, because it is such an intimate experience.
It really is. That's kind of how I feel about, like, Zora Neale Hurston. When I read her books, it's a very happy, homey feel.
Mm-hmm.
And this has struck me just recently because I'm now one of those people that has like 12 books going at the same time.
Oh yeah, you do it, right?
I do that.
And people look at me like I'm nuts, and I go, I can do it. I can just pick it up.
Right. Yeah,
yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Totally. It's like watching TV because it's like I'm feeling like I need to be comforted, homey, happy. Mm-hmm. I'll pick up one of her books. If I'm feeling in a usual mood, I'll pick up something more realistic, more 1984, mm-hmm. Animal Farm, Orwell. Oh my God, there's mm-hmm. a book that should have been banned.
It wasn't. It's not on the list, Animal Farm.
It's not on this list. It mm-hmm. might have been banned, but not on this list. And not as a classic. I love how they don't label it as a classic in this case.
What,
but that Animal Farm sure was
yeah.
groundbreaking. I mentioned before the Diva newsletter. Everyone needs to go to theartistd.com, sign up for the newsletter,
yeah.
and put in your mailing address, because I am sending out some very special things over the holidays.
Ooh, okay. Hear that? Get over there, theartistd.com, which has really blossomed.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah. I've always been fascinated how adept you are with all that stuff. But
speaking of Animal Farm, anyway, that's kind of a clue. That,
okay.
I read it and I'm like, and that especially, because 1984, I'm reading right now. I hope everyone has read it. This is the first time I've actually read it. But it actually kind of bores me because it's very true. It's what's happening now.
You know what they should do with that book, though?
What should they do?
Well, it's just... I have a problem with it being titled 1984 now. And I think that, I think maybe they should go in there. And I think he would have done that. Orwell would have said, if he was alive today, why don't we make it 3562 or something? Because it's like it didn't, I was off. You know what I mean? It's weird.
I do. And that's what I thought. And originally, but then as I read it, because one of the initial statements he makes is that, they think it's 1984.
Yeah.
They're not really sure.
Right.
And it could be, because they've lost track of time, because time does not matter.
Maybe they started all over again, and it's really 52, exactly. 57.
Yeah. But it's so much, but that's the only mm-hmm. amazing thing is, it was written in way, way before that. And it's so spot on to today that it's just... It's standard. It is. I'm reading it. And it's like, of course, that's what's happening now. I get it. But when I think about it in that context, that he wrote this all those years ago. But Animal Farm, it's a small book.
Yes,
I recommend it for everybody. You must read, and that should be banned because that makes people think.
Yes, and I always, how short that book. Is still able to, as short as that book is, it's still able to...
And you've got to take a day, and you've got to sit down and read the whole thing, mm-hmm. beginning to end, because you have to see the transition, and it just has to hit you like a ton of bricks that, yeah. Oh my God, this is exactly what we're dealing with today.
So neither of those books are on that list you have?
They're not on this list, no.
Well, we haven't done that. Okay, but go ahead, and I'm going to see if I can open up without getting 1,000... A thousand explorers here, so we could at least look at see if either of us have seen the newer ones. Let's go through some of those you got there.
Uncle Tom's Cabin. I think we all know that was banned. Right. Yeah, Where the Wild Things Are. That should be banned today.
Well, that sounds familiar.
That's burned. Actually,
that's
the
familiar.
One book I burned.
Which one is that?
It's the children's book. It's the one with the big creatures, the big monsters. And the boy goes away into another world, and he becomes the king of this land.
Oh, okay.
And once if you saw the drawings, they were everywhere. But it should be banned and burned. Let me tell you why.
Why?
And let me
funny.
Tell you. Yeah. It's because the story itself, it is giving to this chauvinistic patriarchal culture of the basis of the story is this kid. He's being a brat to his mother. She sends him to his room without dinner, as she should. Mm-hmm. And instead of him moping in his room, he escapes into this other land where he then enslaves all of the creatures of that land.
And
becomes the king of that land. And then he comes back to his room. His mother knocks on his door, apologizes for sending him to bed without dinner, gives him his dinner. And it's like, it's teaching kids you could be a total asshat, thank you, a dick nugget, brat.
Wow. Dick nugget.
Brat. And then you get rewarded for it. Not only do you get dinner at the end and your mother apologizing to you, but you get to go off into a fantasy world and enslave the entire culture and become king. Yeah, that should not be a book that I would recommend.
although there are times when I could adore a life like that. But anyway,
we can Where the Wild Things Are. Yeah. The summary by the artist D.
Wild, yeah, you know. Well, let me go before you go through the list. Let's just see, because he set up the precedent here. This week, this is from Forbes. This is what gave me. This week is Banned Books Week, and here's the explanation that we didn't say before. We tried to allude to. Where librarians and other organizations highlight the books that have been subject to threats of censorship and actual censorship in schools, libraries, and nations. Among the frequently challenged books, we have mentioned some of them, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, The Hunger Games was banned somewhere.
That's interesting.
Many are books that you really ought to read. Cat's Cradle or Harry Potter. Who?
That's right. Harry Potter was banned, right?
Because of the magic thing, right?
Right.
They want wizard that was like that would be anti-religious or something?
It would be, yes. Black magic? You can't be a wizard.
But then you probably have read them. But in between, though, are lots of books that you might not have heard of, or at the very least, heard of but weren't required to read when you were in school. With that in mind, we've created a list of 5 challenged or banned books that you probably haven't read. Celebrate Banned Book Week by picking up one of these books. Now, I went through this list, and I'll go through this list really quickly. If you want to write them down, you can. And then we'll go back to the other ones. But these are the ones that, and I don't think I've read any of these. Our Family Tree, An Evolution Story by Lisa Westberg Peters. A book less for you and more for any small children you know and love. Beautifully illustrated, beautifully written book by Peters helps break down the concepts of evolution. Well, I think that's enough said.
Yep.
We don't want that one.
Yep.
Here's another one. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon.
Well, that does sound curious.
The novel is barely 10 years old, and it's already been challenged in several schools and public libraries. The book itself is a masterpiece. It's written in the first person from the perspective of Christopher, a teenager with autism, and his struggles to understand the people around him. The title refers, I love this, because you look at, I have to know where everything originates. The title refers both to a line from a Sherlock Holmes novel as well as Christopher's own efforts to emulate Holmes, who he sees as a hero by solving the case of who killed the dog in his neighborhood.
Oh.
There's a killer quote from the book that is banned. And I quote, "And because there is something special they can't see, people think it has to be special. Because people always think there is something special about what they can't see, like the dark side of the moon or the other side of a black hole or in the dark when they wake up at night and they're scared."
I love it.
Don't you? There's the book. It's called, and you write that one down, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. And there's something. Now, why? I don't know. It's not saying why they're banned. But there's, okay. So you haven't read, I haven't seen that one either.
I have not either, no.
How about this one? A Dialogue Concerning the Two Chief World Systems by Galileo Galilei.
Wow, that's pretty old.
His name is that's his real last name, Galileo?
Yes.
See, I am an idiot. I thought his name was like Fred Galileo. He called him Galileo, no. Was his first name. Okay, see. I knew yes. You were even
very
smarter.
Repetitive, but yes, that was his name.
It says hasn't been banned for a while, but it was banned at the time it was written because Galileo's famous text in which he defends the Copernican model of the solar system. Okay, so we understand that. That would be easy.
Sure.
Here's
yes.
A book called, I guess you pronounce it, it's Zhangzi.
We need Phil Hong right now.
Yeah, I know. And this is something, how would I know this? This book, named for its author, I guess his first name was Galileo. Galileo Zhangzi. And that book, one of the primary philosophical texts of Taoism. It was banned at different times in China, as different religions like Buddhism waxed and waned in fortune and been banned in other countries besides its content. Oh, you want to hear a good quote from this? You'll love this.
I do.
D will ahead. Love this. I'll love it for all the people who think like D. All five of you. Okay.
All five of my listeners.
Yeah. A trap is for fish. When you've got the fish, you can forget the trap. A snare is for rabbits. When you've got the rabbit, you can forget the snare. Words are for meaning. When you've got the meaning, you can forget the words. Where can I find someone who's forgotten words so I can have a word with him?
I do like that.
I knew it. Well, I'm going to have to get that book, too. Banned. The Epic of Gilgamesh. There's not even an author. The earliest work of Western literature has been challenged and banned in schools in the United States by parents objecting to some of its depictions of sexuality. Here we go again. But for those of you who have only read portions of this epic poem, oh, it's an epic poem.
Ah.
Yeah, they don't write those anymore.
No, they don't.
Do yourself a favor and read the whole thing. I think a couple of weeks ago, Ray said to me something with the Odyssey. He didn't like it. The Odyssey was very hard. He said, very difficult to read. Why do I have to read this? Even with the Odyssey. And I said, well, that's difficult for anybody. It's because it's an epic poem. And he said, no, it's not. I said, really? You have a text? They're giving you a text of the Odyssey? What did they do? Break it down? like Odyssey time. Odyssey time. I mean, I don't. Hey, what did they do? Maybe they are changed. Those are the five. What banned books? And then it says, what banned books would you recommend? We read. And then there's, see also banned books, Bob. Top 10 books of 2000. Okay, so we can go back to that. So there's a bunch of books you might, you people might, look at this, best-selling novels the critics hated. Oh, let's just go over this real quick.
Nice.
There's 10. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ayn Rand, who I am tired of people calling Ayn.
Yes.
Isn't it Ayn?
It is.
Why are they going Ayn Rand like they're like some, they know and you don't?
I think they're confused, yes.
Atlas Shrugged? What's number two? Huckleberry Finn. Critics hated it, and it's on the list. Isn't that something?
Yes, that
it
is.
Got banned. Okay, I'm not going to read the descriptions. Maybe we'll go over that and do another show on that. Number three, The Da Vinci Code. Well, that's to be hated. I don't know. I couldn't get through that. Okay. Frankenstein, Mary Shelley, the original.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. The Help. From that movie. I haven't read and I haven't seen the movie.
I have not seen that either.
Okay, number six is, you got it, Or the White Whale. Have you read Or the White Whale? They hated it. Like the critic could even get through it. Number seven, Left Behind?
Well, no one wants to be left behind.
Wow, what is that? Oh, this isn't that movie with that. This isn't that guy. Kirk Cameron, oh my God. I hate it just knowing it exists.
Oh, ew.
I know.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. Lord of the Rings. I could never get into any of that stuff. Ever.
No. And I watched several of those movies. It was not interesting.
Yeah. Did you? I could not get into that Lord of the Rings. Everybody in the 60s, it was like a big thing in the 60s. Hey, get into the Middle Earth thing and the stuff. And, you know, it's like, I just couldn't. I don't know. I wasn't confident. And Twilight. Nine of ten.
Twilight.
Yeah, I know. I'm nowhere am I near that. Valley of the Dolls. That's the number 10 right there. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, well, I thought of most of her. What was her name again? I can't can't remember her name. Oh, Jacqueline Suzanne. Most of her books were hated.
Yes.
You know, she wasn't the greatest. Okay, and there they are. Because this is Cthulhu Chronicles. What else would it be? F and D. You know what that sounds like? I didn't mean, you know what, I didn't realize. I said, that F and D!
I've heard it, I mean, many times.
Yeah. It's not the way I meant it. I said F and D, not the F and D. Thank
you. Say after listening to my show.
F and D.
Jesus.
Yeah, here on Cthulhu Chronicles, and certainly here for at least the next 10 minutes as we go through the books. Which one of your books? Because you got a bunch. If you go, also, I want to tell everybody out there, you go to the Artist D, you can go buy D's books. So D did indeed not just start reading, but started writing. And it's certainly In Bed With Myself, which is a classic. Anybody out there who's somewhere in your life, because I know I have a lot of younger listeners, and you have, I don't want to call it an identity crisis, because it's not. It's not an identity crisis. But
finding your identity.
It's an identity awareness. Identity awareness. You've got to read this book, and you will not be able to put it down, primarily because he is a fabulous writer, and I don't mean that in the sense of, like Herman Melville. That's different.
Thank you.
D just tells you exactly what's going on in complete, and comprehensible sentences. That to me is great writing. Full, complete, and full, complete. Like complete is different than full, but
and In Bed With Myself would be the top recommended book that you must read.
Yeah, that's the must. Then go into the poetry and stuff from there. You'll understand it. The other
but
books.
Were you going to ask me which one of mine should be banned?
Yeah,
I think it would. It would be the one that's no longer printed. The I'm So Hot, Can I Please Come Out Now?
Oh, yes, I've seen that the cover. The covers, there were a couple of covers of that, but no, I don't think I've ever seen that one too. Why?
It was I would ban it myself. Because
why would
it
you
was
ban
written,
it?
It was kind of like what was that? The dripping vulva. It was kind of written for that purpose because I had written, you know, poetry book after poetry book, and I was not seeing success. So I said, well, to hell with this. I will write something sensational.
Oh, you did it purposely. Okay.
I did it purposely. And every piece of that book, and while the content was true, however, the content was essays. It was an essay book of my best collected works of essays, and most of them were written from an extremely teenage perspective. So even, and a lot of my work I can look back on and say, you know, okay, I understand it, it's still okay, it's okay. That's why the poetry's still available. It's still okay. But there's something about these essays that were the most vulgar and opinionated, slanted ever.
Okay.
That they made me uncomfortable. That's why we discontinued it, because it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. That's why you did it. Yeah,
and that was, it was amazing because people started buying it because the title, there's a severed hand on the cover. Mm. I'm looking quite interesting on the back cover, and the content was extremely crazy, and while it was true, and none of that was purposely sensational, but people were buying it, and I started getting reviews, honest to God reviews, that were like, this is the best book. I read it on my plane ride here, and it was amazing and hilarious. And I thought, oh my God, that's not what I was intending. So I took it away.
Well,
I banned it myself.
Banned your own book. Well, that's your business. I know I didn't read that one because it's never been available, but perhaps somewhere down the line I'll get a special copy that I can look for, knowing.
Well, maybe it'll be my next, you know, the next group of essays I write will be, I'm Still So Hot, Can I Please Finally Come Out?
Well, I have nothing to compare it with, though. I'd like to know exactly what you were spewing at the time. How old were you when you wrote it?
Probably late teens, early 20s.
Oh, yeah, that's...
But it was, and it was really nothing you wouldn't have already been accustomed to from knowing me and my blogs and my articles at that time. they were of that ilk.
So the
attitude. So it's really probably not as bad as they think it was.
Right, right. That's, and again, that comes back to our personal preference of that. I feel like all my books are banned because because I don't sell as many as I'd like to. I can't get them around as much. What is this? What are they banning it? Yes, yeah, it's like you know, people go over to and then they go to Lulu, which is where I probably sell the most, those little books I had there,
right, sure.
And the people go there. It's like Lulu says, oh, no, we can't sell you this one. I'm sorry, go get another one here. They put it up and then they ban it.
I thought the Molotov Memoirs was the best.
Thank you. I thought, you know, obviously it was a combination of, yeah, that had, it was the most prepared and thought of. And of course it's, you know, art and everything. But, and that was difficult because it was a lot of money in Arkham. Now, you know, digitally you could get it.
Right. And that's kind of what has kept me from buying your recent ones. But now that I have a tablet, because you'd gone digital on
right.
Amazon.
Yeah. And it's so cheap and stuff to do it that way. It doesn't bother me at all if people buy. I want, you know, I'd like readers. I don't necessarily, you know, if they want to.
That's why I wrote. I wanted readers. I didn't want, I knew out of the gate after my first few books that this doesn't make money. But I want people to read me. I want people to listen to me.
It's amazing, too. You know, a kid came up to me, a young guy came up to me. I was at theater the other night and said, hey, I was reading somewhat one of your books. Someone had showed me one of your books, and it was really funny. He said, you got one? And I'm thinking, I'm going like, what do you mean? What am I, a walking kiosk here?
Yes.
I don't. I barely have my own. I don't even have a lot of no. I said, go buy it.
The plight of every author. They think we have a trunk full.
Yeah, which one do you want? Let me, you know, like I got one of those change count, you know, those change things. You remember those old change things that people used to wear like a belt?
You opened up your raincoat and there was all of your wares.
Yeah, right. There it is. I'm hanging from this side and that side. Yeah, I mean, the people read me read my stuff. I don't even remember some of the stuff I wrote. Rapidly coming to this particular conclusion here.
Really?
So let me just say before you say anything, last and not least, thank you very much for making this making the show.
Thank you. It's been fabulous. I love it.
It's been absolutely great. What do I have next? I think Heather's here next week.
I love Heather.
And she definitely has a talk about having a your finger on the pulse of
we're Twitter buddies, and yeah. I just adore her.
Yeah, she's a doll. Wait, somebody just wrote something here before we go. What does it say?
It doesn't
work anymore. It doesn't say go to. Doesn't work. Go to his contacts. Now go to what? Oh, I got to do this. What does it say? It says, great show. You and Dee are magic together. We feel the same way, don't we?
We do. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm sure tons of people out there miss Cthulhu Monthly. But
they do, I'm sure.
We'll do what we got to do, and we'll do it for you.
And I can't wait to hear everyone's opinion after they hear this on juicedtalk.com.
And that's where it will be on then, too. You and I shall talk. Thanks a bunch again.
Thank you.
And keep banding it all together. I love you, and we'll...
Yeah, keep reading. Over there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, keep what? Keep reading.
Keep reading.
Get it going. And remember what... and here, I want to say this to you. It's what Alex said. Of course... The African Grey Parrot, I want to say this to you, Dave, before you leave. You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you.
And the same to you.
Okay, don't forget the Artist D Sunday, right? Sunday?
Sunday, yes. TheArtistD.com.
Go to TheArtistD.com. I'm sorry, we buried Dee's voice there, too, but we'll be back. So good night, Dee, and we'll see you all again there soon. Because you'll be listening and we'll be doing it. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you are. Dee and I now leaving because we have nothing more to say.
球到冰球，小川到大市，啊，喊中心。